That's it. Come on, every voice. Your glory.
Your glory. But I long for you, Jesus, to be overcome by your glory.
Come on, one more time. Just your voice. Sing.
We're going to pray for the educational system in America. Praying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, pray for us that the Lord's message will continue to spread rapidly and its glory be recognized everywhere, just as it is with you. And pray that God will rescue us from wicked and evil people, for not everyone believes the message. But the Lord Yahweh is always faithful to place you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. Father, we come before you this morning. We set the educational system of the United States of America before you. From preschools to elementary schools to middle schools to high schools to our institutions of higher education. Father, we pray that the word of the Lord would run swiftly and be glorified. That the word of the Lord would have feet, that it would be effective in our institutions of education. Father, I pray that our institutions would not be so much about pushing a particular narrative or agenda, but that they would have the interests of our children and our young people at heart. That our institutions of education in this country, that they would impart upon our children and our young people knowledge and wisdom and understanding and the ability to think critically, to think decisively, to be young men and women of integrity and character. We pray for the teachers, the administrators, those who are in positions of authority within the educational system. In the United States, Father, we bless them. Regardless of what they may think, regardless of what agenda they think our children need to hear, we bless them. We pray that there be a spirit of the fear of the Lord upon them, that wisdom and understanding and counsel and power would be released upon those in positions of authority. We pray for believing teachers, believing administrators within our education system. We pray that you would strengthen them with great boldness. We pray that Zoe life would be released through these teachers and these administrators. Something that really produces fruit within our young people. Father, I pray that children who interact with believing teachers and administrators, that the knowledge of God, that aroma of God, that ambassador effect would touch young people. That even in a minute, that young people would be converted. That the father heart of God would be revealed, even as they are teaching math and science and social studies, that the heart of God would be released in America through our teachers. Even when they're teaching that which is essentially secular in nature, God, that it would be sanctified and anointed to bring people, young people, children, young men and women into the knowledge of Jesus. So we pray for our institutions of education in America, a shifting, a tectonic shifting right now, earthquakes in Jesus' name. Things are shifting, Father, that you would command concerning our young people, our children, angels, that you would guard them, their hearts and their minds. I pray that you would give them the seeing eye and the hearing ear in the spirit of wisdom and revelation in our institutions of education in America, in Jesus' name.
And I'm going to continue in the same vein of prayer for education, but I'm going to pray for the teachers and the parents who have become teachers, the parents who are not taught how to be teachers. Praying out of Psalm 32, verse 8, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn. When I take you where you've not been before, don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. The NIV says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Lord, I lift up these mothers and these fathers, these grandparents who have become teachers. Lord, I pray that your grace would cover them. Father, I thank you that you are the great teacher. Holy Spirit, you are the great instructor. So I ask that the Spirit of God would rise up in the families and the homes where they believe in you, and in the ones where they don't, that you would make your Spirit known. God, that in the moments of frustration, in the moments of fear, in the moments of struggle, in the moments of throwing their hands up, that eyes would turn to you, that their gaze would turn to you. I pray, God, that in the moments of weakness, that you would be their strength. And I pray also out of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. The Lord says, do not be afraid or terrified. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I thank you that you have not forgotten the mothers and fathers who don't know what they're doing. I thank you that you have not forgotten the mothers and fathers who have to go to work to put food on the table. And that you have not forgotten the children who are in child care, the children who have been neglected or abused because of circumstance, because the schools are not open and there's nowhere for them to go. Jesus, would you surround these children with your presence? We ask you for protection, that you would rise up as their deliverer when they are in abusive situations, when they don't have food to eat, when kindergartners don't have someone teaching them how to read and write because their parents just need to make money to keep them off the streets. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on our nation, but have mercy also on Anchorage. Have mercy on the faces that we walk past. Lord, as believers, would you highlight the faces of the children who need a touch from God? The faces of the mothers and fathers who are tired and weary and have nothing left to give. Lord, would you show those of us, the ones that we're supposed to invite into our homes and take their children on, take their relationships with their children on, be mentors, teachers, and guides. Would you make us willing to say yes when the rest of the world would turn their back on the ones who don't have money, or maybe they're not clean, or they don't have a nice place to live, so everybody would write them off. But you say, that is my son, and that is my daughter. Give us eyes to see those in need. I thank you, Lord, that you are our great teacher. You are our great instructor. So would you teach us in the ways that we should teach our children, but also in the ways that we love others through this time where education looks like it's never looked before. Holy Spirit, come, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Make us willing to say yes to you. Thank you.
word I need to declare over the education system, then we're going to do something really quick, and it's going to involve your children. Anyone who's a teacher or who is currently teaching your children in, at home, whether you were forced into that situation or it was your choice, and I'll explain that in a second, but I want you to declare something with me because I heard this very clearly. I heard the Lord say, declare a tipping point. And a tipping point is a critical juncture at which unstoppable change takes place, like a wildfire. So I declare now in the name of Jesus that in this nation, our educational system has reached a tipping point, that we will see unstoppable change come from this juncture, this critical time that we're living in, a tipping point like a wildfire, an unstoppable change will shift in our educational system in the United States. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We're going to pray out of Psalm 127, then we're going to do a little more small group prayer. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And blessed is that man whose quiver is full. They shall not be ashamed, but shall meet with their adversaries in the gates. What we're going to do now is, if you're a child, say 17 and younger, I want you to come to the front. And what we'll do, if you are a teacher, you are a grandparent, you don't have children in the house, it does not matter. We're going to release something in the spirit, generational transfer. The children up here are the key to the educational system because they're kingdom agents, just like you are. So the whole house should be down here. We're going to lay our hands on these kids. Again, grandparents, teachers, doesn't matter if you have kids or not, we're going to pray. We're going to release something. We're going to do this for a few minutes. Hey, I want to remind you that simple prayers are okay and effective. God bless them. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Protect them. Put fire in them. Things of that nature.
Last week in our children's church, God gave three of our kids visions of something that is going on right now, and I think we're in a Kairos moment. You want to do it?
I was sleeping one night and I woke up and I saw God right next to me, like out of my bed, like on this like little space by my bed, and there's these like big golden gates, and I went through them and I saw God.
Awesome. Praise God.
Last week I saw these really big golden heavy gates just begin to slowly open. Whoa. And there was this blinding light that came in. And besides the opening gates, there were two angels dressed in white holding swords with fire.
Last week, I saw an altar on fire when everybody was talking about fire. And then I saw another black horse and a white horse running around the altar and two angels with fire swords.
Whoa. Come on. Wow.
Yeah. So, Lord, we just declare visions and dreams, open visions over our children. God, I pray that we would have an ear to hear. God, that we wouldn't be like those who push children away and say, one day you'll learn, but we embrace them like our Lord and Savior Jesus did. We say, suffer the little children to come unto us. We declare in Jesus' name that we have an ear to hear what you're declaring through our children. Father, I pray over these teachers, over these kids. I pray, Lord, over everyone represented, every family, every home, every school system, everything represented down here in the way of education. Right now, in Jesus' name, I declare transformation and shift. I declare a tipping point over you, over your family, over the education system in Alaska, and over this nation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Little ones, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right now, in Jesus' name, I release over this house of these young believers the spirit of Daniel. The spirit of Daniel unto excellence. Daniel, there was none like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That in Babylon, even as captives in a foreign land, they were excellent. They were excellent in the things of God and of man. And they shifted seasons and times because of their faithfulness to Yahweh and the excellence that He put in them. So right now, over this house and over the believing children of the United States of America, we release favor and a spirit of Daniel over these young ones into positions of government, into positions of leadership. We just pray right now that you would have a voice. I even pray for kids in this room who are struggling with math right now. That there'd be a breaking, that there'd be a release, that children in school or teachers in schools or your parents would have a new strategy, and that there would be things that you know nothing about would become readily apparent, and that you'd pick them up with ease right now. So we release a gift of math over the kids even. In Jesus' name, the spirit of Daniel over our young ones.
Daniel.
Hello. Okay. Lord, I just pray for the parents of these children. In World War I and World War II, those that ran away from the front of the lines would get shot for cowardice. And so, Lord, I just release a courage, a spirit of courage over the parents, that they would take their rightful place in the front of the lines for these children. As we pray for a release over these children, Lord, may we never forget our rightful place, that we will be in the front of the lines for them, leading the charge, leading the way. We are their example. So, Lord, I ask that you would release a courage, a strength, an endurance inside each parent, grandparent, teacher. Strengthen us in the inner man, God, that we would not run away from the front of the lines. Thank you, God.
When I, do you have to press something? When I was sitting by some of my friends, I saw angels surrounding like everybody by the worship team, or like everybody on the stage worshiping. And then there was this big, like huge angel. He had a sword and he stabbed it into the floor, and he was like worshiping and praying for like the United States and stuff like that.
Hallelujah. Father, we declare all over Alaska and across our great nation, God, that as parents begin homeschooling their children, as textbooks are opened in their homes, they see the truth. Yeah. Truth! We speak truth. And we declare this generation unbound by the lies of the enemy. Yeah. We declare the true historic life of this nation would be given to them. Father, that they would be restored to patriotism and a love of their country. In Jesus' name.
So as one who works in the education system as a kindergarten teacher and blessed by working in a Christian school, so I am able to teach life and light, I looked up what the significance of the number 8 is, because we are on our 8th month of schools being closed. And the number 8 represents resurrection and regeneration, which I think went right along with what Zach says. It's also the new creation and the true event. So, Lord, I just pray for wisdom and discernment, Lord. Father, I just lift up our nation's leaders, our state leaders, and our municipal leaders, Lord. Father, help them to see the true data. Not just look at one little part of it. Look at all of it, Lord. see that the destruction that you are doing to these kids, Lord God, and the family unit as well. And Father, I'm really praying over every one of those mountains up there because, Lord, we have the ability as a church to step in and fill the gap with all of those students who now are in the homeschool situation, Lord, that they've unenrolled from public school, re-enrolled as a homeschool unit. And Father, we have the ability as Christians to come in and go alongside these families who are doing this for the first time. Father, I ask that we step outside the comfort of the four walls, Lord, and that we rise up, Lord, and do your work that we are destined to do here on this earth. And Father, I just lift up our families, Lord, of all the children in our nation. Lord, there's so much that we are so immune to from up here, but Lord, those who are in those trenches and those urban areas, Lord, Father, I just pray for your protection over those children, Lord, who are not able to go into the school system, Lord, who have someone who is constantly monitoring their presence, Lord, and their safety. Father, I lift up any stressors, Lord, that would come against any family, Lord, that you would just be their true light, that you would, that they would have hope in you, Lord, not in the men who lead. And Father, I just lift up again just what everyone else has prayed in this for education, Lord, that you would fill in the gap, Lord, that you would have all of us, whether we are parents or teachers, Lord, because really the school is designed to be an extension of what happens in the home, Lord. Father, help give us that power to work as a team, be united, Father, for the glory of you, Lord. But Father, help us to be serving our kids because that's really what it's about, is serving them and raising them up in your ways, Lord, so that they would know what truth is, Lord, so that when they become adults, Lord, they can be walking that path that you have made for them, Lord. Father, help us as parents and teachers to speak destiny and life over our kids, Lord. Help us to reveal, Lord, where their strengths are, Lord, so that they can start jumping in, Lord, and start walking in that, Lord God, the destiny that you have called them for. And Father, I just thank you for the blessing that we have, Lord, to be able to speak your life into each one of these children. Father, help us to be good stewards, Lord, that you've placed us here, that you have blessed us with these children. We love you and we thank you and we just ask you, Lord, help us to bring you glory and honor in everything that we do and in everything that we say.
Matthew 11:12 says this, teenagers and kiddos and mostly teenagers and kids, I want you to hear me. Matthew 11:12 says this, since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men take it by force. You know, the things of this world are not going to be just handed to you. You have to actually make a move and a decision. Inside this whole tipping point thing that I was sharing, don't know whether you heard me or not, but inside this tipping point, we have a part to play where we have to actually step into it and watch things begin to shift and tip, not just sit back and go, well, one day things will shift and tip. That's what happened in my generation. That's why we are where we are, because my generation went, it'll happen one of these days. It'll be all right one of these days. But we need to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. And so we're going to enter into a song, a worship song, however you want to say it, in just a second. But I want to encourage you, especially, I think this is for everybody, but teenagers, kids, I want to encourage you to engage in what the words that have been coming, the prayers that have been praying. And actually, I would even encourage you to take a prophetic act. And whether that is just simply stepping into, Lord, I'm positioning my heart, I'm stepping into a position to tip this thing, tip the scales, to tip everything in a direction of the kingdom, you need to do that. Just take that step and prophetically do that. I would encourage you, if you want to stay down here during this time of worship, you can. If you want to go back to your seat, you can do that as well. But let's not lose this, just continue to engage in what God's doing. So, amen? Take that step. Take that step.
pray over families. Jesus, we pray for the restoration of family in America. Lord, it's the groundwork for everything and everywhere that we go. So Jesus, I pray that you would establish family in America the way that you created it, the way that you purposed it, the way that you designed it, Jesus, your heart. Fathers, arise. Mothers, arise. Fathers, arise! Mothers, arise! Fathers, arise! Mothers, arise! Fathers, awake! Mothers, awake! Fathers, awake! Mothers, awake! Fathers, awake! Mothers, awake! Fathers, awake! Mothers, awake! We awake to you, Jesus! We awake to you, Jesus! Jesus, we come into agreement with your heart. We accept the responsibility of our family, of our children, of our marriages, and we come into alignment with you. It's no one else's responsibility. But Jesus, we accept the responsibility of the gift that you have given us in our families. Jesus, our children are a gift from the Lord. They are a gift from you. They are not a burden. Father, our families are not a burden. We repent. We repent on behalf of America, where they have stood up and said, my family is too much. My kids are too much. My marriage is too much. Jesus, they are a gift from you, and we accept it wholeheartedly and fully. We say yes to you. We say yes to family. We say yes to wholehearted marriage. We say yes to wholehearted love as parents. Disciple our kids, that we would disciple them, that we wouldn't wait for the church to do it and for teachers to do it and for the youth pastors to do it, but Jesus, we accept the responsibility to disciple our children. Jesus, to raise them up according to your word and in the revelation of the Lord. The fullness of who you are would be evident in our living room. That the revival would start in our living room. We wouldn't wait for the church to begin to sing loud, but we would sing loud in our living room, and the church would join the song of the family. That the church would join the song of the families as families begin to arise. If you are a father or a mother, you are a husband or a wife, I want to ask you to stand right now. As I was praying about what to pray, Jesus gave me Isaiah 8:18. Here I am, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord our mighty. Here I am, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty. We are going to declare that. Fathers, mothers, husbands, and wives, I just want to encourage you to lift your hands and make this a declaration over your family. You can repeat it after me, and then we're just going to do it together. Here I am in the family the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in the earth from the Lord Almighty. Here I am in the family the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in the earth from the Lord Almighty. Here I am in the family the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in the earth for the Lord Almighty.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God, I pray. We pray, God, that the value and the purpose of family, God, will be restored in men's heart, God. We just ask, Lord, that the purpose and value will be restored, Lord, in men's heart, God. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until the late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. God, I just ask you, I feel, Lord, I believe that you didn't ask us to focus on a family, Lord, but you ask us to be family with a focus, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, that the family, Lord, will be not family-centered, but Christ-centered, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, that we will just see, Lord, what is the purpose, just as we declared, God, from Isaiah, what is the purpose of family, Lord? And I pray that our eyes, our hearts, our devotion as a family will be towards you and you alone, God. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. God, and I do ask for the fear of the Lord to be established in every mother, every father, and every child. I just ask, Lord, I ask that instead of, Lord, striving for everything else, Lord, we will strive to seek Your face, God. You said that You're the wisdom of God. Oh, the Lord is looking down, seeking if there is anyone seeking His face, anyone who is looking for Him. For this is Your wisdom, Lord. And I pray, God, that mothers and fathers and children, as family, Lord, they will seek Your face. They will seek Your face. They will walk in the fear of the Lord, God. And the rest, Lord, will be blessed. The rest, Lord, will be given, God. For this is Your promise. This is Your promise, and You cannot lie, God. I just ask, Lord, for the fear of the Lord, for the value, for the purpose of family to be restored and renewed in a man's heart, Lord. Both in church and outside of church, both in believers and unbelievers, God, I pray, Spirit of God, that You will just hover, like in the beginning, over the darkness, hover over mothers and fathers, over every household in America, hover and pour out the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the Holy One, God, and recenter us, God, back to You, back to the purpose. Back to the One who is, who was, and who is to come.
And God, I thank You. I thank You that we have many leaders. I thank You that we have many pastors, God. But God, I also thank You that there's no greater call higher than a father. There's no greater call higher than a mother, God. Not just say, do what I say, but also to live by example selflessly every day of my life, God. I thank You that we can stand here as a family, worship You as a family, in our home and corporately. I thank You for the blessing in this country that we can worship You as a family, God, that we can worship You and come together, Lord. I thank You that we can do that on this day, God. We thank You for that freedom that we have, Lord, and we come. And I thank You, God, that the call in my life doesn't change when I get married. I thank You that the call in my life doesn't change when I have a little peanut. I thank You that I'm still called to love my neighbor, that I'm still called to care for widows and orphans, God. I'm still called, and I thank You that doesn't change, God. And I feel like in this moment right now, there's an opportunity for people to be reminded of the call and the destiny on their life, and to be reminded that that doesn't stop when you have a family. It's not about just now I've got to be fearful and afraid of my neighbors and what if something happens to my little peanut. But God, I thank You that You're bigger than all of that, and I thank You that You've called me to reach out to my neighbors, to know my neighbors, to love my neighbors. And God, we all have neighbors. It's so practical. I pray, God, that in this moment, Lord, You would touch every mother, every father here. And Lord, there's always, it doesn't matter if you have natural kids or not, but Lord, we know. We know we're all Your kids, and we're all mothering and fathering someone. And so, God, our heart is that You fill us with the love and the joy and the courage to say yes, God.
that our eyes would be open for that person in front of us, that we would see the Good Samaritan, that we would be the Good Samaritan, and we would stop for the one. Lord, we just thank you that we do it as a family. We worship you as a family.
I just want to touch on the spirit of Daniel. I just prayed this week for the spirit of Daniel, the book of Daniel, just the faithfulness and the boldness to be in a family, in a mothers and fathers and children, that in this, you know, Lord, just like Daniel, in this wicked generation he lived in, Lord, when they were forced to bow down to false idols, God, he stood up. He was not afraid and ashamed to be different, God, but he stood up and he was found faithful to you, God, praising you behind the doors, God. I pray that the families, Lord, will praise you behind the doors, that they will praise you, Lord. They will lift their hearts, they will lift their hands, God, and they will praise you in the morning, they will praise you in the afternoon, they will praise you in the evening, God. They will be bold and not ashamed when they are in schools, when they are at work, when they are on the street, God. They will not be ashamed to be different, God. They will not be ashamed to look different, to sound different, God, to act different. But I pray that the boldness will just come upon us, Lord, will just come upon us, Lord, that we can stand in this time, in this season, seasoned and shining bright for you, walking in the fear of the Lord way more. I would just say only in the fear of the Lord. Only in the fear of the Lord. We love you, God.
If your people who are called by your name will humble themselves, we humble ourselves, Father. We seek your face. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us. As I was praying for the families, I had seen two hands come down from the heavens. There was healing flowing from one and restoration from the other. For God is healing. He's healing brokenness in families. He's bringing healing. He's bringing healing. For this is where our nation, where it starts. It's with our families. It is with our families. And he is bringing restoration. He is bringing healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you do that lovingly. That you embrace us. Oh, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father. Heavenly Father. Father, Heavenly Father, you are restoring our families. You are healing brokenness. You are the one that is bringing the true identity revelation to the people of our nation. Restore the broken lives. Restore the broken relationships and bring our families into right relationships with each other and with you, Father. Father, we pray for our marriages. Father, we pray for our marriages that they are unified. That they are ones of honor and love. That we are examples of how you love our, how you love your church. Bring unity and peace into our marriages. Father, we just break off the things in us that divide us. Give our marriages a spirit of one. Make our marriages strong and unbreakable and shining lights of your love. Father, I pray, Father, that you are sanctifying the marriages of our nation.
Touch our hearts, Father. Touch our hearts and heal the brokenness. Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, draw us to you by your Holy Spirit. For it's through your Holy Spirit that you refine us. It's through your Holy Spirit that you purify us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the healing of our nation. Thank you for the healing at the very core. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, forgive me where I've allowed the fog of technology to interrupt my vision with my family, Lord God. When the Lord was giving me this little word, I don't know, I saw the movie WALL-E pop into my head. And I don't know how many of you guys have seen that, but you see a whole bunch of people who have been taken off of Earth because Earth was no longer inhabitable, and they were trusting in technology to save them. And then if you've watched the movie, you'll see that you got all these people, they're sitting on these carts that take them from here to there, and they play virtual games where they used to play real games, and they have the screen that's ever before their eyes, and they're always looking at the screen, but they never see their neighbor. They never see the person next to them. They never see what's going on around them. And it isn't until WALL-E, who isn't supposed to be there and he doesn't understand the custom and the language of that environment, he bumps into some of the people and knocks them off the track. And suddenly that screen falls down and they start to look around and see, hey, there's other people here. What's going on? And they see another person that actually fell off their cart, and WALL-E's trying to help them up, and suddenly there's a revelation that there's a ship around them, and there's people all around, and there's relationship available. But it isn't until something, that tipping point, like Zach was saying, something happens that causes a change to go into effect. And then suddenly that change just it turns the ship around. So, Lord, I ask, Lord God, for that fog of technology. Me as a father, there's been so many times where I've taken my iPad, I've come home after a 10-hour shift at work, I sit on the couch, I pull up the iPad, the kids are screaming, the wife is kind of frustrated, well, maybe more than kind of, because I just came home and sat down on the couch, and I just want to click and scroll and just want to relax instead of engaging in relationship with my family. And unfortunately, because I'm a leader in my home, my children are doing the same things. And I'm wondering why there's a certain amount of bondage that's coming in where they're focused on technology as well. And relationships aren't quite where they should be. So, Lord, in this moment, I ask as a father, Lord God, that you would forgive me, Lord God. And, Lord, that I would put down the technology. And I'd start to see those around me, Lord. And that my family would be made stronger because I've set things down. And then I start pursuing you, Lord God. Technology is a wonderful thing, but it's got to be done in the right way. It's got to be handled correctly because it's like a drug. It just becomes an addiction. And I've seen people at work. I've seen families that are ravaged because technology has taken the place of relationship. Wives are not communicating with their husbands. Husbands are not communicating with their wives. Kids are no longer in a place where they're going to talk to their friend. They're going to be in presence with somebody else, but they're relying on a quick fix from whatever TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, and all that stuff. And there's a false reality that's there. And, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness on us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would set us free, that we'd walk and run in the freedom, because once that fog is lifted, we can see all those around us. And we can see the people that are hurting, truly. And you gave us the cure.
which is your son, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would take him and we'd wear him and we'd go in his presence, in his name, and we'd restore families, Lord God, because they would see life in our families, Lord God, because we have set these things aside and we pursue the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we worship with our whole hearts, Lord God, and not just with one eye on the screen because we're interested in what else is happening out there in the world and one eye in whatever, in even in church. Lord, I pray that we'd have our full attention where you would have it go. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name.
Ephesians 1:5 says, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave Him great pleasure. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you have called us into your family, that we are part of your family. Lord, and I just pray right now, Lord, that a great sweeping of our nation would be swept into your family. Yeah. Into your family, there'd be a great influx into your family, which is your church. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that our hearts would return to you as a nation. Lord, as Annie said, wake of the fathers and mothers, I pray, Lord, that you would wake the children. Yes. You would wake the dreams and the passions of your calling in their lives. Yeah. You would rise up in them. They would have no fear of pursuing the things of you. Lord, that the distractions, like Steve talked about, the distractions of this world would just be swept away. Even as we fast and we pull ourselves away from this world and the things of this world, we see more clearly the things that you've called us to do. I felt led in my spirit to also just come against jealousy. Jealousy in the family and of other families. Lord, let us not be motivated by being jealous of each other, of each brother and sister, of each father and mother, or even what we see outside of our families, Lord, but let the things that are good in the other families inspire us to be better families. Lord, I just pray, Lord, we'd also return as a nation to your definition of family. Lord, you defined what family is. We don't define it. There's a redefining of everything in this world right now by man's standard, but I pray right now God's standard of family would come right back into this nation. Lord, that you would establish those that need to be in leadership to put those in place. Lord, I pray you just rise up new congressmen, new senators, new leaders in this nation to rise up and to bring us back to our founding morals, to our founding standards that you put in place. Lord, so move upon men and women's hearts right now, Lord, even young people, to rise up and to take their positions. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just return the hearts of the fathers and mothers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers and mothers. Lord, that honor and respect would go both ways. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you created family. You started this before the even beginning of time. It was always your plan to have family first. Lord, so we recommit ourselves to your family. We are part of your family. So, Father, we just thank you for that. And we just bless families. We bless families here in this place and across our nation. Lord, let us, our hearts just be swept up in love for you and single vision to bring your kingdom come, your will be done.
In the beginning, when God created Adam, he went through a process, and at a period of time he said, it's not good for man to be all one. Not all alone, but all one, able to do all things. And he searched for a suitable mate or a suitable helper, and there wasn't one. And so God put Adam to sleep and pulled out of Adam the womb man and created woman. And he said, it's good for you two to be one, and I want you to make other ones who look just like you. And we're now going to call this family. God started with a family. He defined family. And man said, but I don't feel like family. So I'm going to determine what I think family looks like. And I'm going to determine what I think I am. And I'm going to determine what we have messed with and messed with. And the definition of family, I so appreciate you bringing that up, because the definition of family has been under attack for years, and the enemy continues to gain ground in areas like, if we call it a fetus, it's not actually a baby yet, we can kill it. So I know that's a little blunt and a little graphic, but that's what we do. Let's misdefine this. Therefore, there's no real sanctity or holiness in it, and we can just do away with it. So if we call family whatever you determine it to be, we can make it no longer sanctified, we can cut at it, and we can destroy it, and you can be whatever you desire to be. So in the name of Jesus, I come into agreement and say the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of family, and the sanctity of life would be at the forefront of our minds and our thoughts as Americans, that God, we would allow the definition of what you put in place from the foundations of the world, what you said is family, we come into agreement with that, we release that over this nation in the name of Jesus. It's already been defined, it doesn't need another definition in Jesus' name. Let family be restored in this nation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Worship team, guys, thank you so much. And I know you don't do this for anyone but Jesus, but I appreciate you guys being up here. And I know it's a lot of work. And so thank you. Yeah, thank you. They deserve it. We all recognize that all praise, honor, and glory goes to God, but I do appreciate the sacrifice and the servitude that our worship team, they flow and move, and the nursery workers, the sound guys, I'm so thankful that Ben knows how to make me sound better than I actually sound, wait, were you me doing that me thing? Or no, I'm playing. Ben's got a tough job. I know that these guys who serve don't look at it as jobs and difficulties. They look at it as a blessing and a place to serve. But I know you appreciate all that you guys, everybody does. So, really quickly, a couple of things. Next week, we are blessed to have Mark and Ann Tubbs here with us. They will be doing a Saturday night here at 7 o'clock, and then on Sunday morning as well. Now, Mark will be speaking to the youth on Friday, so teenagers, you need to like headlock any friends that have never been to church before, drag them here. No, in all seriousness, I think it's important that teenagers, you guys fill the house, grab a hold of anybody. I mean, like, some of y'all work, start inviting people. Come to church. No, I want to encourage you in this. Friday night is a teen service. It is not closed off to you, but we really want you to know that it is going to be geared absolutely toward the teenagers. If you want to sneak in the door, Steve won't kick you out, but I want you to know that that specific service, I'm not advertising it for as an open anyone come, but if you do come, again, I'm sure you'd be welcome. But Saturday night, we're going to rock the house with Mark and Ann, and then Sunday morning. Yeah, it'll be a real blessing. Am I forgetting anything? Okay. We love you all so much. I'm going to let Jay take it from here and close us out. And I'm just thankful to see your faces without masks on. And I really am. I'm thankful for that.
So we're going to do an offering, and boy, I'll tell you, I've just been really focused on this great painting. I love this thing. But I want you to pay particular notice on one item. There's so much in this thing, but if you'll notice what the flagpole is founded on. It's a really big deal that it be founded on that place. And there might be cause to wonder in our nation today if it still is. As I was praying about that, the Lord was reminding me of a kind of a goofy little song, really, but I'm sure you've heard it. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. Now, those of you that are old enough to remember doing that song, it takes a rather long route, but it eventually comes right back to the beginning of the song, and you find out you've really never gotten anywhere. And it's long enough in the verses that it's easy to forget along the way, oh, I am back. And so I'm praying into that and asking the Lord, why are you showing me this? And as soon as I asked him that, he said, stop for the one. The one right in front of you. The one who maybe cut you off in traffic. Maybe just slow down so you don't get rear-ended. But the one that really spoke to me, that's kind of confirming to me, is something Zach just talked about. Stop for the one who's yet to be born, who's alive in your womb. Alive in your wife's womb. Stop for the one. So it's really not just about putting a dollar in something as a tithe or an offering. It's important, of course. There is gold on that foundation, by the way. But it goes so far beyond that. That's just more or less, to me, a symbol of the whole. So I'm going to go ahead and put the basket out here. And since I was given freedom to do this the way I want to do it, I would kind of like to ask the worship team to do a song, if you could do that. Okay. And so you can give online at akbridgeofhope.com. You can put your offering in the blue boxes on the wall. We've got one out on the gym door. But if you're really excited about the Lord and want to worship and praise Him, dance on up here and put it in this basket. It's already started. So Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day and this service. Thank you, Lord. And we're gonna go out stopping for the one. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Will you guys stand with us? Let's just declare this song over everything that we've prayed, over our nation, over our families, over education, over the church. Jesus, we trust you.
You know when you're in a defining moment and you just know it. And this is, let's crawl up into Papa's lap. That's this moment in time. And we are in a defining moment. Because God wants to define us. But in order for him to do that, we have to let go of all that we think we are, all that we think we are privileged to. And I'm not talking about the privilege that the world's talking about. Even what we think our privileges are as his children, and some of us think that's a lot. I know I do. Ministries, jobs, rights. If we hang on to those things and we allow those things to define us, he cannot define us. And he wants desperately to say, this is who my daughter Kim is. This is who my son Jay is. This is me in them. This is my love through them. And God is asking us, lay down what you have allowed to define you, some of us for many years. It might be a relationship. I'm a mother. That's how I define myself. Or I'm a computer operator. Or I'm a salesman. I'm a pastor. I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle. No, we're not. We're his. We're his kids. And those are things that happen to be part of our makeup. But it's not who we are. But if I walk around and I think this is who I am, I'm a teacher. It's so narrow. It's so tiny. It's so restricting. And it doesn't allow him to birth the new in me and through me. It's a defining moment. And I heard the Lord say, beginning today, many of us are going to wake up to that. And it's going to be, wow, that's who I am? That's who you've called me to be? Wow.
You're an apple. Does that make any sense at all? I just gave you a gift. Does that make you an apple?
Hallelujah.
Why do we think I've been given a gift, now I'm a pastor?
Right.
If you give me this, I am not an apple. Are you catching what I'm laying down here?
Right.
I want to be an apple. How come Steve gets to be an apple? That's not right. I have apple in my life too. I want to be an apple. This is what we do. I want to be a worship leader. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a CEO. They're all gifts that we're given. It doesn't define us. It doesn't make us. It doesn't become who we are. It's what we get to do. You see... And so, if we don't learn that the gifts He gives us are for us to put into use, not for them to define us. Here's the biggest problem, though, is a lot of us end up becoming defined by our pain, by our issues, by our sin, by our difficulties, by our past, by our, you name it. I'm divorced. I'm not, but you know what I'm saying. Like, that's who I am all of a sudden. What? No, you're not. No, you're not. That may have been something you had to go through at some point in your life. It doesn't define who you are. You're a son or a daughter of the living God, regardless of whether you were abused as a child. Was that good? No. Did God like that? No. But it doesn't make you who you are. Am I an apostle? Maybe so, but it's not who I am. It's a gift that was given to me. Am I? So learning to operate as a son or a daughter of the living God and push away everything else that's trying to define who you are, it levels the whole playing field of everything. Listen to this. Last thing I'm going to say about this. Jay is, by trade, he's an engineer. I'm not. By Jay being an engineer, it doesn't make him any more of a son of God than I am. I am an ordained minister. Roxana isn't. But it doesn't make me any more of a son of God than you are a daughter of God. It doesn't make me any more loved by him, any less loved by him. Do you understand? It levels the playing field of this whole thing we call life. We are children of God, all predestined, brought into him by adoption through the blood of Jesus that enables us all to stand positionally in the same place with him. I have his ear, you have his ear. We've all captured his heart, and he desires to do the same things through all of us in different ways. So don't be defined by anything in your life other than son or daughter of God. Everything else is just things that he put in our hands, tools and equipping that he puts in our hands to be able to do things like affect the nation. So maybe you're a mom at home, like that is what you're doing right now, is you're a stay-at-home mom. That what an amazing position you're in, but it doesn't mean that God has called you to have any less effect on the nation than someone who's sitting in a seat of Congress. They may have a different role to play, but so do you. So I'm going to stop there because I said I would. I just want to pray over you and over me because I believe this does need to be broken. We need to wake up to this reality. And then after I pray it, I'm going to dismiss you. And just go out of this place empowered and blessed and ready to tackle whatever's in front of us. So Lord, thank you for the word, the various words that came, the times that we had today. Lord, I pray that there really is a shifting that has taken place in our thought processes, in our lives, and ultimately in the actions that ensue as we leave this place. I pray that, God, we would not allow anything to define us that's outside of your voice. That, God, we would not allow position, title, gifting, anointing, anything else to be empowered as an identity of who we are, but that we are sons and daughters of God, empowered by you to be such. We're thankful for all that you're doing. We love you. We love this time that we are living in. We're thankful that you find us worthy to be standing here today in this time. We're excited for this season that we're in. And we just long for more of you today. I pray blessing and breakthrough in everyone's life here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed. See you on Saturday night, 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it.